Welcome back, 104.5 The Zone at 8:17. This is the Wake Up Zone. Alongside Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, I'm Kevin Ingram, producer Morgan Alexander. We're going to have take three coming up about half an hour. I've assembled the questions. We'll throw them at these guys shortly.
I'm tingling.
All right. Well, yeah, we all are. Trent Dilfer joins us now. Of course, the new head football coach at Lipscomb Academy, Super Bowl winning quarterback for many years, a terrific NFL analyst. Trent, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're doing fine. What's the new job been like, and how do you kind of go about sort of, you know, setting the agenda for what you hope to accomplish with those kids?
How long do we have?
We got plenty of time.
This has been as challenging as playing against Blaine. it's a monumental task trying to bring these boys together and turn them into the type of team that can win championships, but they've shown everything that it takes. We're working hard in the weight room. I believe that's where teams are built. They're not built out on the football field. That's secondary to what happens in the weight room, especially at this age. Trying to, you know, set the culture, the standards, the expectations. Myself and the coaching staff's working through a 30-day plan. We're almost done with that. We'll get on to the 60-day plan after that. But a lot of it's just re-messaging and helping them understand that they have so much more inside of them that's ever been expected from them. And they're going to do hard things, and we're going to talk well to them while they do it. We're going to teach them how to speak well to themselves during it. And we're seeing a lot of growth. This morning we had multiple guys go 40 pounds over their squat max. We had more team enthusiasm than we've ever had before. These guys are embracing the 559 workout. So a lot of good stuff happening here, and a lot more good stuff is going to happen.
You're a good evaluator of quarterbacks. So what do you think about Kyler Murray and how he's going about this process, you know, deciding to play football over baseball?
I think he's in a tough situation. You know, he's an uber-talented kid at both. And there's a lot at stake here in this decision. So I haven't kept a real close eye on it. I've known Kyler for years. We had him at the Elite 11. I think he's going to be great with whatever he chooses. And I think the scrutiny around how he's making decisions is probably a little unfair because very few people have had to have the complexity of this type of decision-making at this young of an age. So, you know, give him time. He's going to work through it, and I think he'll make the best decision for himself. And really, that's the end goal here.
Trent Dilfer is our guest here on the Wake Up Zone.
Well, Trent, man, thanks for coming on, man. A long time I wanted to talk to you about what was the mindset about our rivalry. I don't even know if you guys looked at it that way. But how did you look at it coming into at least that playoff game where you guys kind of just took it to us and, you know, won, I guess, in more of a defensive scoring, special teams type game? How did you guys look at us? And then, you know, now also, where do you keep your ring? Because I'm still perturbed that you stole our ring.
Well, we really felt you guys were the best team in football that year, and we were trying to chase you. You know, our mentality was the same every week after I took over the starting job, which was to play to our strengths. We were obviously one of the best defenses in the history of football, but so were you guys at the time. And we had a great special teams unit. And I knew offensively it was about protecting the football, changing field position, and then taking advantage of the opportunities that we would get. So it was a hard way to play offense, but it was the right way to play for us. But you know, coming into your house was a challenge. This place was rocking every time you guys were loaded. We knew that it was going to usually come down to, you know, last possession type thing. And our defense showed up big in the playoff game. And the story that nobody tells, Blaine, and I know you know this, and I've had Greg admit it since, that you guys had our playbook for the playoff game.
What? So, what? Greg, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I have to say, Williams, about it. It was amazing how, coming to the line of scrimmage, you guys be calling out every play we were running.
Hey, I still know the one play. Every time Shannon split out, and if I played off, he's going to run a slant. If I'm in press, he runs a go, so I'm going to press bail. Yeah, I can remember it like it was yesterday.
Yep, you got me on the press bail, too. You almost kicked me on one of those. We were trying to keep you over the top, but you bailed.
Yeah, it was fun though. Great, you know, great battles. But I guess on to you know, I'm going to miss you on the Dilfer Dimes, man. Where did that all come about? Or I mean, it being a TV guy, is that something you thought you would be doing still today, or why did you even leave, or was there other options?
Well, it was fun. I enjoyed my time doing it, especially the first 4 or 5 years. Towards the end, I felt like there really wasn't any nobility to it. It was entertainment. It was fun. It was, you know, paid a lot of good money, but it just didn't fill my soul. So so to speak, and that's what I'm doing. But the Dilfer's Dimes thing's a really fun story because I'm a huge NBA fan. I always have been. I grew up with Showtime Lakers in California, and I'm a big Warriors fan and know a lot of those guys. And I was sitting in Cleveland in 2005, and Charlie Fry and Derek Anderson were the other two quarterbacks with me.
Okay.
And I had been to a Cavs game that a couple nights before, and we're sitting there, we're watching film, and I went, man, that was a dime, talking about a guy throwing a really nice pass. And Derek Anderson looks at me and goes, that's sick. That's a great way to talk about a great pass. So I started using that as, you know, as quarterbacks, we would write tip sheets for one another, getting ready for a game. And I would always title them dropping dimes on whoever, you know, whoever the team was that week. And just kind of caught on with my teammates. And then when I went to TV, I was doing NFL primetime. And they were looking for kind of a fun segment to do about quarterbacks. And we're in a production meeting. I said, what about calling it dimes and just highlighting the best passes of Sunday's action? And the producers liked it. And I started doing the segment. And next thing you know, everybody in television, radio is calling a perfect pass a dime. So I have a lot of pride in that. That was a lot of fun. Loved the segment on Monday Night Countdown. Missed doing it. But it's been fun to watch kind of that take hold throughout everybody's nomenclature when they talk about the NFL.
Yeah, we enjoyed watching it, Trent. And, of course, we're going to ask you about Marcus Mariota and your thoughts about him and, you know, going into pretty much a make-or-break season here in 2019 with the Titans.
I think Marcus is actually pretty simple evaluation. He's a fantastic athlete. He's a fantastic competitor. He's as good a leader as you could possibly find. I mean, if you're looking for the intangible makeup of a player, he's got it all. Physically, he's very good. He's dynamic. He just needs to be put in his lane. And I think too often in the NFL, these coaches want to do everything. You know, this has become an ambition profession where coaches get their next job by what they do on the chalkboard instead of what they actually do on the field. And once Marcus gets a coach that's going to highlight what he does well and only does what he does well, he's going to be much more successful. He's a guy that struggles to get backside in his reads. He's a guy that struggles to get to 3 and 4. But I could say the same for myself and 28 other quarterbacks in the NFL. So you really need to do with him what he does best. And once they kind of find that lane and maximize their playbook around his strengths and not everybody else's strengths, they're going to be a lot more successful. I learned this playing for Holmgren. You know, I spent some time with Bill Walsh before he passed, Norv Turner. You know, some of the great offensive lines, they keep it pretty simple. They build the offense around what the quarterback does well, and then everything fits off of that. Too often these guys get caught up in what the offensive line does well, or the running back does well, if you have a diva wide receiver. Those are all really important, don't get me wrong, but you got to maximize what the quarterback can do. And if they can maximize what Marcus can do well, because he can do it as well as anybody in football, he's going to be more successful, and the Titans are going to be more successful.
We're speaking, of course, to newly minted head coach at Lipscomb High School, Trent Dilfer, former NFL quarterback, Super Bowl winner, was with ESPN. And Trent, I also have to ask you about how fascinated are you by the trend now in the NFL in terms of where the offenses have gone, what Sean McVay has done, how teams are hiring, when a guy like Cliff Kingsbury, you know, can get fired at Texas Tech and end up at Arizona, but teams going younger and obviously, you know, more wide open in terms of the offensive philosophy.
Well, I think it's good if they're good teachers. And what Sean does really well, and what a lot of people have missed on this, is he's just a great teacher. He teaches coaches well. He teaches players well. And he teaches the public well when he speaks publicly. He's just a very good communicator. Young doesn't matter. Innovative. Listen, we all can drop cool stuff on the board. I'm dealing with it right now at Lipscomb Academy. My offensive coordinator knows a ton of football. I know as much offensive football as anybody. And we can drop all the cool stuff you want. It doesn't matter unless you can teach it. It doesn't matter unless it fits your personnel. It doesn't matter unless it fits the vision of what you want your football team to be. And that's where these owners and GMs mess it up. They get caught with the, you know, they get caught up in the flashy, sizzly new piece instead of dealing with the substantive qualities. And Sean's unique, and I've known him forever, and we've talked a ton of football over the years, that it's not just that he knows a lot and that he's innovative, that he actually knows how it fits his people. He knows how to teach it well, very much like Sean Payton is one of the great football minds of our generation. And all the great ones, they're all good teachers. And that's really, if you're a GM, if you're an owner, that's what you should be looking for, not the age or if the guy's good looking or if he's charismatic or not.
Got to ask you, too, you know, you talked at the top of the interview about the way you're going to coach your kids. How different is it to coach millennials as opposed to the way you were coached when you were coming up in football?
I think, like with anything, you adapt. I don't think there's anything wrong with this generation. I think sometimes they're scared of doing really hard things. If there's one thing, and I have, you know, I have three daughters, 22, 19, and 16, and raising them and seeing their friends, it's a culture of wanting the easy road. And what they forget is that the best stuff comes out of the hardest time. But doing hard things and taking on big challenges, there's an approach to that, too. It's just you can't kick them in the butt and yell and scream at them. You got to teach them how to speak well of themselves. You know, your self-talk, your inner narrative is really what helps you get through those hard times. And these young people don't necessarily know that. So we're going to create a ton of hard things for them to accomplish and get victories on. But at the same time, we're going to teach them how to control their inner narrative and how to handle kind of the pressures of what they're going through in life and get the most out of themselves. I believe this, that all of us have way more potential than what people think we do. And if we just pursue that potential every day and win the day, win the moment, whatever you want to say, then all of a sudden that potential starts overflowing into every aspect of our life. Football, our relationships, academics, our spiritual growth, whatever it is. And we just want these young people to recognize how special they were made and to pursue their potential. And if that happens, great things will happen here at Lipscomb Academy.
Well said there, Trent.
Good lessons for everybody.
No doubt.
Appreciate the time, Trent. Have a good day. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks. See you guys. Okay,
appreciate it, buddy.
All right.
Really good stuff.
New head football coach at Lipscomb Academy, Trent Dilfer, excellent analyst and, of course, a good quarterback during his time. More Wake Up Zone coming up on 104.5 Zone. Hear what Coach Mack said about the difficulty in finding a good backup quarterback around the NFL. More Wake Up Zone coming up in a moment on 104.5 The Zone. Send it over to Mark. First, word about Mortgage Investors Group.
That's right. Mortgage Investors Group wants you to know the housing market is red hot. So be ahead of other buyers by getting pre-qualified before you start looking. Pre-qualification gives you bargaining power and can help you close quicker. Get pre-qualified. Get moving. Whether you're buying your first home or your fifth, Mortgage Investors Group can help you fulfill your home buying goals. They did for me 6.5 years ago when I embarked on my house hunt. They let me know how much house I could afford, and they gave me the knowledge to sort of help put me in the front of the line. Because Mortgage Investors Group has been in business for over 29 years, they're the number one lender in the state of Tennessee. Let them put that experience to work for you. And, of course, 100% financing is possible to take you from renting to owning. So call our friends the Mortgage Investors Group to see if you qualify or go to MIGonline.com for the office nearest you. Equal housing lender, license number 109111.
This is Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute. Earlier, I laid out some fundamental changes in the way major league teams now operate, and nowhere is this more evident than in free agency. Last Friday, Brad Brock, one of the better relievers on the market, explained what he went through before signing a one-year deal with the Cubs. You hear about interest in the first week, and then you don't get offers until late December, January, and you're just kind of wondering, what's going on? Teams say they like you, but they're not making you any offers. Then you finally get offers, and 6 or 7 teams are giving you the same offer. That's as close as you can get to collusion without proving it. Cardinals veteran Adam Wainwright believes a strike is 100% inevitable. However, he worries about the possibility of players walking out in midseason. Now, more the next hour on this very compelling situation. I'm Boomer Esiason. CBS Sports
Radio. 36 days. That's how long it takes the average company to find their next hire. Glassdoor can help you quickly find the right job candidate in half the resumes. From 62 million job seekers, Glassdoor only matches you with qualified candidates who have the skills and experience your small business needs to grow. And Glassdoor hires are committed. They're 30% more likely to stay with your business longer. Go to glassdoor.com/hire. Glassdoor. Find the right fit for your business.
Today, business happens here. here and virtual.